Hey y'all, welcome to episode 4 of what was Dollywood Adventures podcast. I am going to have to rename and rebrand it. I will give some information on that a little bit later, but regardless, it's still the same type of podcast. It's still going to talk about our trips that we made. It's still going to talk about the places that we stayed, the time of year we went up, what happened on our trips, things like that. So it's essentially still the same podcast. It's just rebranded to not say Dollywood Adventures. I am in the works of creating a new name, a new rebrand, a new everything. I've actually gone to my Facebook page for some input from viewers and followers and listeners there to give me some feedback as to what they would like it to be called or what they have, maybe their ideas that they have that they would like for it to be called, just to kind of see what somebody else is thinking versus what I'm kind of coming up with on my own. So feel free to go there and drop a comment and say what you would like for it to be called or an idea that you have or anything like that. I'll explain more about that a little bit later. But again, it's the same type of podcast. It's the same information that has always been here. It's always going to be here. So I wanted to pop on here and describe the last trip that we took. We went up for spring break. So we're on spring break right now, where I live in North Georgia. And I know that Sevier County schools are on spring break. I think Knox County and Cook County, I think both of those school counties, school districts are on spring break as well. So I just wanted to kind of describe going up to Dollywood and Pigeon Forge, Gatlinburg for a couple of the days we did for spring break, kind of what that was like and how it was for us. So we went up on Sunday, March 31st. We came home on Tuesday, April 2nd, and we went to the park on Monday, April 1st. We first rented a cabin off of VRBO. The cabin, its name is Boogity Bear. It is a 3-bedroom cabin. You can find the cabin listing if you search VRBO Boogity Bear in Gatlinburg. Actually, technically, it's in Pigeon Forge. It's off Ware's Valley. But you can find it, you know, either searching Gatlinburg or Pigeon Forge. It's just technically in Pigeon Forge. It's a 3-bedroom cabin. We went up. It was my family of 4, and then my best friend Sarah, her husband, and her 3 boys. So there was 9 of us in the cabin, and it was perfect. It was 3 bedrooms. It had a master king downstairs that had a connected bathroom to it. It had a master queen upstairs with a connected bathroom to it, as well as a huge sleeper sofa couch where half of the sofa was a sleeper and the other half reclined. There was a TV upstairs in this loft area where the sleeper sofa was. Downstairs on the main level, there was a large kitchen with everything imaginable stocked. They had paper towels and toilet paper and dishwashing stuff and garbage bags. It was stocked with a crock pot and all of your appliances that you would need, like a toaster, a coffee pot, things like that. It had the boys' room. We called it the boys' room because Savannah, she slept down there one night, but the first night she was like, I'm going to sleep upstairs. The boys' room were 2 twin beds with trundles, so it slept 4 comfortably. And again, Savannah slept in there on the second night. And the boys were just kind of in their own little area. I had a little arcade game in there too. They had a blast. And then it had a grill with a hot tub on the outside. It had a fenced in backyard, and the kids played out there the first night we got up there. They just ran around playing outside. It was amazing. So I would absolutely stay in this cabin again. It's called Boogity Bear. It was on VRBO. And for 2 nights, we split the difference. We just paid it half and half, us and them. The total was not even $500 for the 2 nights. So the owners were amazing. They own, I think, like 10 other cabins. I would absolutely, absolutely stay there again. It's great for, you know, 2 families vacationing together. So we got up there on Sunday, we checked into our cabin and we grilled and hung out for the night and, you know, just kind of enjoyed relaxing the night before we knew we had to get up and make a big day at Dollywood the next day. So I've never been to Dollywood on a Monday, and I've never been to Dollywood on a Monday of spring break. So I didn't exactly know how it was going to be. I knew it was probably going to be crowded, but I didn't know really the capacity it was going to be. We had seen over the weekend on Saturday was about like 75, 76 degrees up there. The ride wait times were insane. I think they said there was like 23,000 in the park that day. We had some friends up there that said that they got there, went to the park, hung out for a couple hours, and decided to call it a day because it was so busy. They were staying at the Dreammore, and they have season passes as well. So for them, they'd left for the day and then went back on Sunday. Sunday was cooler, a little bit rainy, and it was a much more calm and quiet day on Sunday. So anyway, I knew that there was the potential for it to be busy, but I didn't know exactly how it was going to be. So we decided we were going to get up and go straight to the park when they open at 10 o'clock. So we did just that. We got to the park. They opened at 10. We got there right at 10. We parked in lot B. They hadn't even filled up lot B yet. So if you know anything about the parking lots and how I've kind of described where you park at what time of day you park, it can tell you basically how busy the park is going to be. And so as soon as we got there at 10 o'clock on Monday morning and they were still parking up lot B and hadn't even filled it up yet, that was a good sign to me. I was very happy to see that. So we went to the park. We had the best time. Sarah, she's by far one of my best friends. She's very much into riding rides and riding roller coasters and things like that. And the last time we went together, it was December, of 2017. We came up for the day just to meet them. And so we didn't ride everything that trip. I chickened out on the Wild Eagle. I talked her out of riding it. I don't even know if Lightning Rod was running. I don't think it was running. But we didn't ride everything on that trip. So we had already decided on this trip we were going to ride everything. We were going to ride the Wild Eagle. We were going to ride the Lightning Rod. So as soon as we got there, her oldest boy, Colton, he wanted to go straight to the Wild Eagle. And it's kind of like, oh, God, like, you know, knowing that you're going to go straight there. I definitely felt like I needed just a little bit of a warm up. So we went and got on the Thunderhead, which, of course, it was amazing. It was smooth. It wasn't as rough as it has been. If you heard my last podcast, they've replaced some of the wood and I think they've worked on it some, and it's definitely a lot smoother than it has been. We went and rode that. And we left there, and Mystery Mine again wasn't running at all that day. I haven't asked anybody why. We kind of got busy doing other stuff, so I never got a chance to ask anybody why. But regardless, Mystery Mine wasn't running at all that day. So we went and we got on the Wild Eagle. We sat about the third or fourth row back. I sat on the outside. Sarah sat on the inside, and then behind us, Colton and Jeff sat behind us, and I hate it. I hate the lift hill. I hate the wing. I hate everything about it. There's something creepy and eerie and weird and just odd about being on a wing coaster. Just there's nothing above you, there's nothing below you. It's just the whole thing is just odd. So, like, as we're sitting there getting ready to leave the gate, I'm already feeling that, like, oh God, I can't do this. And so, of course, as soon as they give the all clear and they open the gate and they let us out, and we turn and we make that sharp left to go up the lift hill, I can't move. Sarah is turning to her right, looking at me, and she is trying to talk to me. She's trying to say stuff to me, and I'm just, I can't. I can't look at her. I can't talk. I can't do anything. I'm frozen. The lift hill going up is just, I'm thinking about it right now and my heart just races. It's crazy. It is so steep. It is so high up. It's built on a hill. It's just crazy. And I remember like seeing the top of the hill, like we're about to crest it. And I'm just like, oh God, here it comes. Oh God. And so as soon as you go down that first hill, I mean, it is a drop and you feel like you're dropping forever. But as soon as you go down that first hill and into the loop, it's fun. After that, it's fun. But it's not worth it to have to go through the whole lift hill and then dropping down that hill. It freaks me out. It's insane. But I did it. I had some people commenting on my Facebook that they thought I was playing an April Fool's joke when they saw that I had ridden the Wild Eagle, but I posted the picture to prove it. I did it. So we rode the Wild Eagle. After we rode the Wild Eagle, we started walking down towards the Tennessee. No. We went and rode the Fire Chaser. We stood in line for that for a good, God, the guy said it was about an hour. I mean, it was probably close to it. It was me, Savannah, Colton, and Sarah. And they were only running two trains, which I thought was weird because it was already kind of busy. I mean, the park, I've definitely seen it worse, but it was already, you know, kind of busy. It was close to 11 o'clock at this time and they were only running two trains. So I thought that was, you know, kind of weird. I think that's the reason that it went slower than normal. When they got three trains running, they can crank out some lines. So it took a while. It probably took close to an hour. But we rode the Fire Chaser and then we made our way down towards the Tennessee Tornado. We let the kids play some games. So last time when we went with my family, my niece Lucy wanted a giant sloth at one of these games where you have to knock five cans off of the table with like this little beanbag ball. And her dad won it for her and it was amazing. So this time Easton kept talking about the sloth and he's like, I want that sloth. And it was green. It was like this lime green sloth and it's huge. It's literally 6 feet tall. And so Greg went to try to win it. He didn't win it. Easton started crying and we were like, you know, we'll try again later. Jeff was like, so what do you have to do? So we told him, you know, you have to hit all these cans, knock them off. So he's like, I'll go try. So Jeff went to try. And as we were there watching Jeff try, Greg decided he would try one more time while we were there and he won it. And that was cool. That was really fun. So we kept walking, we made our way down, we got hungry, we decided that we were gonna go eat, we were first gonna just stop at, like, across from the Eagle's Nest, the little Eagle's Nest store where the American Eagle Foundation is, we were gonna eat at just, like, the quick service, like, barbecue and chicken tenders, little booth there, but we decided since it was kind of cold, we wanted to get out of the cold and go inside and eat, so we went to Granny Ogle's Ham and Beans, which we've eaten at before, and got inside, and that was amazing, that was so much fun, it was so good. They have just, either a big entrees, like Sarah got meatloaf, or they have just sandwiches, like Jeff got a ham sandwich with some deviled eggs. Me and Greg both got chicken salad sandwiches and the prices are, you know, incredibly reasonable. Like the sandwiches are like 10 or 11 bucks. I think Sarah's meatloaf might've been like 13 or 14 bucks. But it was like meatloaf and mashed potatoes and gravy and a side of, she got a side of something. I can't remember what it was. So yeah, it was good. So we left there. Oh, they walked across and went and rode the Barnstormer, which I refused to ride. Rode the Barnstormer, made our way down to, I can't remember if we rode the Lightning Rod first or if we went to the Country Fair to let the kids ride, some like ducks and things like that. But we hit up everything. We hit up, you know, the Lightning Rod, which was insane. I mean, it was absolutely insane. There was an elderly, and I say elderly, I'm not talking like an old couple. There was an elderly couple that got on right before us and they sat in like the second row. And I swear they had to be every bit of 80 years old. And I'm thinking, like, do they know what they're getting on? Do they know what's going to happen? Do they know? Are they able to do this? Can they do this? Can their heart hold out? Like, we were thinking, oh dear God, these people are going to die on here. And they made it, and they looked like they had the time of their life. It was hilarious. So, you know, if the elderly can ride it, you know, you can too. It was a lot of fun. It was every bit of as intense as I remembered. Greg and Colton rode behind me and Sarah, and me and Sarah are like holding on to like our lap bars and our little handles and stuff like that. So, I mean, we are clenching our lap bars and these little handles that's right next to us. It is by far the most intense ride you will ever ride. It is insane nonstop the whole time. After we left the lightning rod, like I said, I can't remember if we, I think that we went to the country fair after the lightning rod. But regardless, we made sure, I mean, we hit pretty much every single thing. We wanted to ride the train, but Easton had fallen asleep and he was out in the stroller. So we didn't get to ride the train because we didn't want to wake him up. Our day was pretty much over. We kind of started making our way back to the front. We went through Craftsman's Valley to make our way back to the front. Sarah and I went and rode Blazing Fury, which I love. I mean, it's fun and it makes me laugh. We met the guys up by the Tennessee Tornado, and we hadn't ridden the Tennessee Tornado at all that day, and the wait time was zero. It was about 6 o'clock at this point. The park had winded down. It wasn't even really that crowded to begin with, but the crowd that was there had begun, you know, it was clearing out quickly. So there was no wait time for the Tennessee Tornado, and we were getting ready. That's what it was. We were getting ready to go get on it, and we were trying to figure out who was going to ride with who. So I went and said I was going to ride with Sarah. Colton and Savannah were going to ride together, and is that how it was? Sarah? Yes. Okay. Sorry, trying to remember how it happened because this was the best part of the trip. So it was going to be Colton and Savannah riding together, me and Sarah riding together. Well, all of a sudden, Maverick, which is Sarah and Jeff's middle boy, he's 6 years old. He's never ridden a roller coaster a day in his life. He did not want to ride the Fire Chaser. He didn't want to ride the Whistle Punk Chaser, which y'all know is like the smallest little roller coaster they have at the beginning of the park. He didn't want to ride any of those. So we were determining who was riding with who. And as we were getting ready to walk in, Maverick says, I'm going to ride this. And Sarah's like, are you really? Like, is this? And he's like, yeah. Like, she never asked him to ride it. Nobody asked him to ride it. He just was like, I'm going. And so the minute he said he was going, it made the total five. So I wasn't going to ride by myself. I wasn't going to, you know, ask anybody to go with me. So I just stood back and Jeff was like, why aren't you going? And I'm like, well, Maverick wants to ride. So that's four. I'm not going to ride by myself. And he's like, well, come on, let's go. So we sprinted up there. We caught up to him and we walked right on. There was literally nobody in line. So we walked right on. Now, Jeff is about, God, like 6'6", 6'7". He's huge. And like his legs are like the size of the state of Florida. So he sat down next to me. It was Maverick and Sarah in front of us, and then me and Jeff, and then Savannah and Colton behind us. And so he sat down and his legs are like up to like his chin and his butt's not even touching the seat. And he's like, I don't fit. And I'm like, you're going to have to fit. And he's like, no, you don't understand. Like my butt's not touching the seat. I don't fit. So the seat in front of us where Maverick and Sarah were sitting was the beginning of the car. So it was like, you know how they do like these two, that's one car, these two, that's another car. So the seat in front of us was a little bit bigger because it was the beginning of that section of four cars.
So I was like, well, trade with Sarah, see if you can fit in there. And so they traded, and Sarah ended up sitting with me. Maverick was upset that Sarah left him. So I asked, I'm like, do you want me to trade with Maverick? Like, Maverick can come sit with you. I can go sit with Jeff. And she's like, no, it'll be okay. So everybody got situated. Everybody was fitting. Everything was fine. We start our way out of the gate. We start to go up the lift hill. And Sarah looks over and sees the huge loop for the Tennessee Tornado. And she just realized that the roller coaster goes upside down, and she doesn't know if Maverick knows. She's afraid for him. She doesn't know if he's gonna be okay knowing that it goes upside down. And she's like talking to him going up the hill. She's like, Maverick will be fine, just keep your head back, it's gonna be so much fun. Like, it, she was like, I don't know what to do. And I'm like, well, it's gonna have to be okay. Like, he's gonna make it. It's gonna be okay. He's doing great. And so, like, as soon as we go down the hill, like, into the tunnel, and they take our picture, I mean, we are all, like, screaming, you know, for Maverick, like, way to go, Maverick, you're doing it, this is great, keep your head back, you know, just, like, all this stuff. And watching him get off that ride, smiling, like, kind of shaking, kind of wobbly legs, I mean, it was amazing. It was the best part of the entire day. So we got our picture, of course, loaded it onto our photo card that we have for the whole season. And we got off, and again, there was nobody in line. So Savannah and Colton wanted to go ride it again. So it was like 6:15. So we decided, me and Sarah, Savannah and Colton, I rode with Colton, Savannah rode with Sarah. We ran and got right back on it, rode it again, and then got that picture as well loaded onto our card, and then made our way through, Craftsman's Valley, like I said, up towards Wilderness Pass to go back towards the Wild Eagle. Colton wanted to ride the Wild Eagle again, so him and Greg rode it. Got that picture taken, got that picture loaded onto our card, and then Savannah wanted to ride the drop line with Colton, so Savannah, Colton, and Greg went and rode the drop line. Jeff and Maverick went and did the lumberjack lifts, which are right there next to each other. And then they were going to ride the Thunderhead right before we left. It was like 6:45. And for some reason, they were testing it. Like, they kept running like empty train after train. And so they didn't want to wait anymore for it. So we decided to make our way back to the Emporium and got all of our pictures loaded onto our card at the little photo station there. And bought a couple things in the Emporium, and then made our way back to the tram to get on the tram to ride back to Lot B, and went back to the cabin for the day and soaked in the hot tub. To be April 1st, a Monday, during spring break at Dollywood, it was not that bad. It was nowhere near as bad as I thought it was going to be. The longest wait time we saw was for Fire Chaser, which was an hour. Everything else was about 15, 20, 30 minutes. We walked right into Granny Ogle's Ham and Beans and had a table right there. Like, there was no wait for anything. They just asked us to wait while they got the table situated for us. And I have waited for a table there on a slower day. The ride wait times, I mean, like I said, we walked right on to Tennessee Tornado twice. We waited 15 minutes, if that, for Lightning Rod. We waited like 5 minutes when we first got there for Thunderhead. And then we waited like 5 minutes, if that, for Wild Eagle. And same for Blazing Fury. I mean, it was very, very quick. The longest we waited for was for the Fire Chaser, of course. And that one's always long because it's got such a low height requirement, and it's the funnest one there that it's always busy. The weather was great. It was a little cold, but it was beautiful when the sun was shining. I mean, and you were in the sun, it felt great. So, spring break, definitely not as bad as I thought it was going to be, especially on a Monday. That was our day at Dollywood on Monday. We came back Tuesday, and, that was it. We hung out in town. We went to an arcade for a little bit. We walked around the village for a minute, took the pictures in the village, got some candy from the Old Smoky Candy Kitchen, and then I made our way home. So it was an amazing trip with some really good friends and their kids. I would absolutely do that again, and I would stay in the same cabin again. It was perfect for all of us.
The last thing that I want to talk about for just a minute is how I am having to change my Dollywood Adventures name. I did the right thing a couple weeks ago and emailed Dollywood and asked them if I could get their permission to include the word Dollywood in apparel. I wanted to have a shirt made. I mostly wanted to have a hat made, but I wanted to have the option to have a shirt or anything else made that had Dollywood Adventures on it. And so that way, if somebody asked, you know, what that was, I could direct them to my website and they could learn all about the different Dollywood trips that we've been on and how we make it work and how it's affordable and why we love it so much and, you know, things like that. So I wanted just to have that option for people to ask me about it if they ever were to see it on me. So I wanted to do it the right way. I wanted to ask Dollywood for permission for that. And I emailed, like I said, over two weeks ago. And last night I was laying in bed. I checked my email and I had an email from Dollywood's law firm. It was their lawyer who represents them. He thanked me for doing the right thing and asking for permission. But he denied my request for permission to use the Dollywood brand in any of apparel or anything, any kind of print, anything like that. He went to my Dollywood Adventures website. He noticed that it is called Dollywood Adventures. He noticed that I've had different links and reviews and things to other resorts or accommodations or competitor places like that. And essentially that goes against Dollywood. So it would be ultimately driving business elsewhere if I told somebody to stay somewhere else other than Dollywood Cabins or Dollywood Dreammore Resort. So as I read that email in bed last night, my heart just kind of sank. I didn't really do anything. I just kind of handed the phone to Greg, let him read it. He made a couple comments, and then I just went to sleep. I didn't really want to think about it. I was really really disheartening because in the email he asked me to transfer my Dollywood Adventures domain to Dollywood, because I guess am infringing on the name Dollywood the name Dollywood by having Dollywood Adventures. So I emailed him back this morning and thanked him for his response, and I told him I understood. I basically begged him to let me keep Dollywood Adventures. I took everything off of my website that had anything to do with any other accommodation or resort or anything that was not related to Dollywood itself, and asked if by doing that, I would be able to keep Dollywood Adventures. I said that I loved this little platform that I've created. I love everything about Dollywood Adventures. I like the name of it. I like how it sounds. I like my little logo that I've created. I mean, I've done everything for the smallest amount of money possible, but I wanted it to be kind of unique and I wanted it to be mine. And I felt like this was mine. And so he emailed back and thanked me for my quick response back to him. And he said he was unable to speak on behalf of his client right now as far as if that would be acceptable or not. But he asked me if I would be willing to transfer my domain to them if that is essentially what they wanted. And I wrote him back and I said that I would. I respect Dollywood and I understand where they're coming from. I understand it's a business. I understand that they own the name. I understand where they're coming from for having to protect that name. I would be willing to sign any kind of non-disclosure agreement saying that I will not say X, Y, and Z on any of these platforms. I included a screenshot in my original email where Dollywood commented on my Dollywood Adventures Instagram post asking to use one of my pictures. you know, I understand that there's so many moving parts and there's so many people that work at Dollywood that if the Dollywood media department commenting on pictures, asking permission to use the pictures, they probably don't know who in the licensing department or anything like that is granting licensing requests to people. So, you know, they don't know all the moving parts. They just know that there's somebody here that has posted a picture at Dollywood, tagged Dollywood in it, and we like it and we want to use it. So anyway, I included that just so that they would know that, hey, y'all have already seen my page before. But regardless, it feels like that, the saying, it's easier to ask for forgiveness than ask for permission. It feels like that almost applies here. I'm disheartened. I'm sad. But at the same time, I understand completely where they're coming from and I'm willing to comply with whatever. So with all of that said, if they essentially say, I can't keep my Dollywood Adventures platform and I have to rename everything and get rid of my domain and transfer it to them, then I need a new name. So I'm thinking something along the lines of like my Smoky Mountain Getaway or our Smoky Mountain Vacations or our Smoky Mountain Adventures or something that is general related to the area of East Tennessee from Pigeon Forge to Sevierville to Gatlinburg, Dollywood, you know, just all of those things to where I can say, I can give a review on the places that we've stayed. I can say, stay here, don't stay there, and not have to worry about, you know, essentially taking anything away from Dollywood or anything like that. So, I mean, I'm kind of looking at it as maybe it's a blessing in disguise. Maybe I can kind of branch out a little bit more. And instead of being so tied down to just Dollywood Adventures, you know, maybe by branching out and doing this, you know, it'll drive more traffic or something along those lines. I'm not looking to get rich from anything like this. I don't get anything. I've never earned a cent from anything that I've done talking about Dollywood or anything like that. I just want to be helpful and share information and stories and tips and tricks and, you know, whether it's when they offer their child's prices, like everybody pays child ticket prices to get in. Like, I just want to be that outlet or that voice that somebody may come across and I may be the way that they found out about something like that. You know, that's all I'm looking for. I'm not looking to do the wrong thing. I'm not looking to do anything against anything that Dollywood would want. I mean, I completely understand where they're coming from, but to say that, you know, it doesn't hurt would be a lie. So anyway, I'm probably going to be rebranding here soon. But for the time being, as always, if you have any questions, please feel free to let me know. I will be more than happy to answer anything that anybody, may want. I will keep y'all updated on what my name will be rebranded to. In the meantime, thank you so much for listening, and I will hopefully talk to y'all soon. Thank you.